Good morning, everyone. How you doing? That's what we say in New Jersey, if you don't know. How you doing? At least that's the way it was where I lived when I grew up here. This past week, I had something happen that was very unusual, and I wanted to share it with you, but I'm not going to tell you the details. I just want to tell you what happened in general. But I experienced God in a way that I had not experienced Him ever before. I was praying for something with my wife, and we were very concerned about this one thing, and we were kind of despairing. I don't know if you ever felt despairing. You were feeling kind of like you were helpless. You didn't know what to do. Anybody been there? I've been there many times. And I sat down with my wife and we prayed, and I can tell you honestly that within 15 minutes we received a direct answer from God, and it drove me to my knees. Lee Chun had left and she was shopping, and but I fell down on my knees before God, and I had tears in my eyes because I felt so ashamed of my, we were actually reading something today in our Sunday school class, in the Basic Christianity by John Stott, and it causes a person, when you are face to face with God and near to Christ in that way, where there's a direct answer to prayer of that kind, it really should drive us to look at ourselves as being unworthy. It doesn't mean that we have no meaning to God, but it shows us directly that we are unworthy. It shows that we need Him, and when we are in the presence of someone so great that can perform those kind of things for us, when we ask them of Him, we are forced to our knees, and we have only to praise His name and to thank Him. Now, the thing that I wanted to share that with you, the reason I wanted to share that with you is this. Within an hour after that, I had to ask myself the question, are you going to remember what God has done for you? Are you going to remember what God has done for you? Are you going to remember this moment that you were driven to your knees in thanksgiving and in humbleness before God because He is great and He has answered your prayer? Are you going to fall into the old man and the ways that you often do? And I had to ask myself that. Are you going to remember this, or are you going to just keep on doing the other things and lack your faith? I pray to God that I will not forget that moment. I pray to God that I will always remember it, and that it will strengthen me, because I believe that is what He intended. He could have given me what I wanted without asking, but He wanted me to come to that point. I believe that He brings us to that point for different reasons. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So let's have a word of prayer together before I begin. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Forgive us, Father, for our faithlessness and our unwillingness to recognize You for who You are each day of our lives. And may this scripture speak to us and each one who is here today, for it is Your voice, Father, that we seek, not my voice. It is Your wisdom that we seek, not my wisdom. And it is only because You are who You are that we are here. And we thank You for the majesty and the grace and the love and the peace that Jesus Christ gives to us. And we pray these things in His name. Amen. As some of you know, I don't often talk about myself as a singer, and I don't really like to talk about myself in general. Actually, it's not true. I'm not going to say that. But I don't talk about myself as a singer, but I felt that God wanted me to today a little bit, just so that you can, if it helps, maybe it'll help you, maybe not, but I hope it does, to tie in with some of the things we're looking at in the scripture. But when I was growing up, you know, as a singer, I had certain things in mind. I don't know if maybe you can relate to that. You have talents, or you think you can do something, and then you have a certain goal to achieve with those talents. And for me, when I was learning music to sing, I felt like there were some things that I wanted to do. And then, you know, like for instance, in our college, we would go up and you'd have to audition for a part. And many times, you know, it's very cutthroat. In music school, you're up against other people that have just as much desire to get the part that you want. And many times I had the you know, the privilege of learning humbleness and being you know, given a chorus part or something else in the play when I really wanted to sing a lead role, something like that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to have a lead role, but what I found as time went on was that my impression and my feelings about myself were not often what people saw in me. And I think that that's the way it is a lot in life. You know, we have these kind of impressions about ourselves and we have desires and we want to do things and we think, well, I'd really like to do that. And then we do them sometimes and we get the opportunity to do that, but the reaction that we get from people can sometimes give us a chance to think about life. And I think about godly things, too, and about God and the way he looks at us. And I don't know where this is going to go, but I just wanted to kind of feed your mind a little bit with the idea of thinking about our identity, what we think about ourselves and what other people see in us, and that conflict that goes on there sometimes. And also, perhaps, that you can start to think about yourself in that way and what God is really trying to say to you with your life. And your identity, and your desire to be a certain way when actually you're not that way, you know, that kind of stuff. I can give you an example. You know, I wasn't written about very often in the newspaper, but I sang a role. And I was trying to, you know, achieve one thing with this role and say something with the music that was really very clear to me. And the person who wrote about me in this review had a completely different aspect. And they saw something completely different than what I was trying to say. And it wasn't a bad thing, but it was just a different thing. And so I started thinking, how am I? What am I? You know, who am I? You know, what is God doing? What kind of a personality do I really have? You know, is it the way I'm thinking about it, or is it the way somebody else sees that, or is it a combination of both, or what is it? When I was growing up, I was really messed up because of this same thing. I was going to church, and I was going to Sunday school, I was going to youth group, I was going to, you know, service, and I was involved in the church a lot. I mean, everybody knew me there. They knew me from the time I was born. It can be a kind of a curse. But, you know, because they always remind you of the fact that you were a baby, and I knew you since you were a baby, and, you know, even when you're my age, they're still saying that. But everybody knew me there, and I did certain things there, and I acted a certain way there, and then I went out, and I found myself doing stuff that was not like that in church. You know, it was a completely different kind of a life. I found myself hanging out with people that I didn't, you know, that I really wouldn't want to bring to church, or, you know, at least not at that time. I don't think they would have wanted to go to church anyway. But I had this kind of a fight going on, you know, like, I love the Lord, I love Jesus, and I love being in church, and I really did. But then when I got outside church, I felt this pull to fit in with my friends, and it caused me to sin. It caused me to turn my back on what I did at church, and it wasn't going. And it was reflected in the people that I was seeing, my friends. You know, all those relationships and everything like that were all messed up because people could see in me something that wasn't quite right. I remember one time that I was working at this place in Montclair, New Jersey. It was a department store, and there were a lot of people there, and they were not Christians. And everybody went out for lunch, and I felt the desire to fit in, and so I started to drink, and which could have gotten me fired from my job, right? Never mind anything else. But they were having a drink over lunch, and so I had a drink. And I kind of played it up, you know, I kind of played it up to act like, you know, I had more than I really did. And this, I'll never forget this, and the reason I'm telling you is this. This girl looked at me, and she, instead of like going, wow, that's cool, John, you're really great, she said, that's not you. And I felt really embarrassed. I felt ashamed, you know. I was thinking, I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve, you know what I'm saying? I was trying to fit in, and yet those people I was with could see that that was not me. God is looking for us to be honest. God is looking for us to be honest. He's looking for us to be who we are. And we had some people that made a big decision in their lives to be baptized a couple weeks ago, right? But there are many of us in our church and in the church all throughout the world who go through life trying to do it both ways. And that's what Paul is trying to talk to us about today in his scripture. Okay, so if you open up the book of Colossians to chapter 3, you're going to be seeing some pretty amazing things here. And, you know, take it where you are. Don't try to take it all in. Just take in some. Okay? But it starts off by saying, if you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things on earth, because you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. He's trying to teach us here some very, very important things. In verse 3, it says, your life is hidden with Christ. I saw another translation of this, and I liked it because it says, your life is safe in Christ. But the thing that happens with this, and the thing that happened to me, is that I knew that I had my security in Christ. I knew I was saved. But I wasn't living it. And you're going to find, if you try to do that, people are going to be looking at you, and they're going to get two messages, and they're going to be confused. And if you come here, and you are here with us, and you know what you were doing outside is not syncing up with what you're supposed to be doing here, then we're going to see it too. You can't hide it. It's like being around your mother. She always knows. You know, my mother knew me very well, and she was always worried for me, but it's true. You can't hide it. It's not meant as a threat. It's just the way it is. People can see things like that going on in your life. You can't hide it. And the biggest thing is you can't hide it from God. And if you have an impression of him as being somebody that is saving you and then you can do what you want, then you have to read this scripture. It's not about that. It's about meaning what you've done and living that way. It's not easy, but you have to do it. Okay, so it goes on from here. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So he's saying, these other people are going to feel the wrath of God. You're saved, right? But you are not to continue in these things. Trying to impress upon us the importance of letting go of these things. I knew somebody that had such a hard time keeping himself from watching dirty movies on TV that he had to get rid of the TV. And we're thinking, how could you give up the TV? That's too important. You know, take my car, but, you know, don't take my TV. What do you need to give up? What do you need to get rid of? Can you live without it? That man was free. As soon as he got rid of it, he was free. That's what he needed to do. Not everybody needs to do that, but he needed to do that. What do you need to do? What do you need to do so that you can be Christ-like, so that you can be what you just promised God that you understood when you were baptized, when you gave your life to Christ, when I fell down on my knees and thanked God? Am I going to continue to live in my sin, or am I going to look at that as a direct communication from Almighty God who says, I love you, John, don't you get it? I'm here and I can do anything. So live it. Live the life that Christ has given to you. Okay? So those things. Sexual perversion, sexual intercourse, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, anything that threatens God as being your God and being number one in your life is idolatry. Those are the things that get in our way. We start to worship those things, and just like that guy who couldn't stop watching those things, it was an idol for him. It took over his life. It took over his being. And he might have wanted to stop, but he couldn't stop. So what did he need to do? He got rid of it. John Stott, who wrote Basic Christianity, was a single man all of his life. He never married. And they asked him one time, what about sexual sin? He said, look away. Get away from it. That's how I stayed the way I was. I stayed single. I focused on God. I turned away from the stuff on TV. I turned away from those things. You think it's impossible? It's not impossible. Because he turned to God for help, and he practiced the disciplines that God gave to him. It's not too hard. We're only under the impression that it's too hard, but it is not too hard. Okay, a few more things here. Verse 8, but now you yourselves have put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Filthy language out of your mouth. This is Uncle John's chance to just give it all to you, lay it out on the line. I used to swear a lot when I was a kid. Now, I did not swear like every other word like I've heard a lot of people do these days. But I cursed when I was angry, and it felt good, to be honest. But it's not acceptable. And what I didn't understand then, I understand now. And I can tell you, when you swear, you are disrespecting God. And it's not allowed. Now, filthy language to me is something that I see in subtle forms, and that brings us to another point. The world wants you to think it's okay. So what do? They give you an acronym for it. I've seen it online. You know what an acronym is? What's an acronym? Yeah.
Would that be an acronym?
That's an acronym. Well, it's actually, you know, it's a shorter form. You just use the first letter of each word. And people, you can use your imagination. I think you guys know what I'm talking about anyway. But you don't spell out the whole word. You just identify it by a couple of the letters. And that's what the world does. It gets you to think that that's okay because I didn't spell it out, so I can just write that to my friend. Right? It's the same thing. It's the same thing with any kind of sin. There are subtle forms of letting us get away with it. It's not so bad. You watch TV programs that are on today, I do the same thing, everybody. You watch a program because you think, well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, so I'm just going to watch it. But it's filled with all kind of connotations and things that they are working in there because they know they can't get away with it. If they could, they would. But that's the way the world is, and that's the way sin is. It's very subtle. C.S. Lewis wrote a book about these demons called The Screwtape Letters. It's a great book because it's written from the perspective of demons who work for the devil, and they talk to each other about how to get Christians away from God. And he uses all of the logic and the philosophy that we all know about that exists in the world to teach one another, these two demons working together to say, you know, this guy has a weak point here, so why don't you get in there and try to mess him up there. Or she's weak in this area, so, you know, try to get in there and get her off guard, you know, so that she's away from God that way. The world is trying to get us to compromise. It's trying to get us to accept these things as being okay. And it's not okay. If you're swearing, if you're committing any of these sins, then let me tell you something that a friend of mine who is a Christian told me. Stop it. You must stop it. Not try to work it out and see if you can do it. Just stop it. Because you are offending God, the one who made you and gave you life. And don't buy into the other things where people start to get you to do things that are wrong. Run away from it. Run away from it. It's right before God that way. You don't do it. I was grateful to that person when they told me and confronted me about that sin. And I stopped it. It's amazing what those words can do for you. Just stop it. Okay, it goes on to say, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man with who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must forgive them. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Even when I'm reading this, I'm thinking to myself, are they going to buy this? Are they going to do this? Does this look attractive? We need to make this attractive in our lives. We need to understand what that means. I can tell you from experience that these things are everlasting. These things are of value. The other stuff is of no value. And if this verse sticks out to say that we are God's elect, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, and you say to yourself, oh, I can't be holy. I know I'm just going to fall back into it again. I know myself, I can sin over and over and over again, and I ask for forgiveness, and I do it all over again. That is just the devil trying to get you to believe it. It is attainable through the strength that we find in the Word of God. It says it here. You gain strength through the Word of God. That's why we're here and looking at it. That's why we need to read it. I have looked at my Bible oftentimes and felt like I have other things that are more important to do, and every time I pick it up and I look at it, I think, what a moron you are to leave that book closed and sitting on a shelf and doing all this other nonsense that you fill your life with when God comes out of those pages and hits you right in the face with love and faithfulness and joy and kindness, all of those things. And it comes in and it seeps into my heart and it fills me with a feeling that is indescribable. And then this other old man starts coming in. This other old man starts seeping in. And I get lazy and I start doing things that drive me crazy and I think, what's the use? The use is that we are to live for that. We are to live for God. We are to live for Jesus Christ because he loved us and died on the cross for us. You don't give up. You persevere. You go to God and you give him your problems. You say, Lord, I can't stop this. Help me to stop this sin in me. And he will do it. And then you will feel him in your life and he becomes real. And then you can stop what was driving you crazy and making you feel guilty. The old man, the old woman, keeps coming on in, and he's saying, let the new man rule. You are new, you are renewed. You are not as you once were, so don't let that old man come in. Have nothing to do with him anymore. And we need to understand that. You guys need to understand that growing up. It is possible to do that. And the world is depending on you doing it because they are in need of examples of people who can do it. They are in need of seeing people who can come into a gang of people who are used to seeing you in a certain way and seeing you different as a new person, and they say, what is going on with him? And at first they'll say, ah, look at him, ah, he's so good now, oh, this and that. And slowly it becomes real to them that something has happened, some kind of a miracle has happened in that life. Something has changed that person. Why are they not doing that? And what they see at first as being a weakness slowly becomes a strength. And they start to feel, I need something too in my life. If he can do it, I want that. And if we can understand that and bring that across to people, then we have done what Christ has asked us to do. We're being just like him. And when he takes a life that is willing to look for him and to seek his will and to look for his love is more important than anything else, he takes it and he grasps it in his arms and he hugs it and he kisses it and he says, I love you. And now you're home with me, just like this boy that ran away from his father and said, I'm taking off. I'm going my own way. I'm taking my money and I'm going to spend it all. And he comes back home after thinking, oh, I got to think of something. So maybe if I'm really hungry. So if I tell my dad, I'm sinful and I don't deserve to be your son anymore, maybe he'll give me something. And he didn't understand his father at all. His father doesn't need to hear that. He loves him. And so he takes him and he goes, come to me, my son. I love you. The main thing is that you're here again and I have you back with me and we're going to celebrate. And that's exactly what happens to a person who knows Jesus Christ and is willing to come home. Someone is lost but is found. Someone was dead but is now alive. We need to think about that for our lives. What's more important to you? A bunch of stuff that C.S. Lewis described as being worthless? And that we lower ourselves for all the time? Or are we going to grasp onto things that are everlasting and of value? Things that are going to make people feel built up and that feel that they are appreciated in life. You want to change your family's life? Talk about Jesus. You want to change a family that is destroyed with all kind of sinfulness and messed up things? Talk about Jesus. Practice what you've read. I know what I'm talking about. I want to share one last thing with you today. This whole idea of putting on the new man is symbolized in the Bible by putting on a robe. That's just like a person puts on some clothing. You put on the new man, the new woman. You take off the old. You throw it out. You give it away. It goes in the garbage. Got holes all over it. It's been moth-eaten. And you put on this brand new clothing. And you wear that. And what do you get? You get peace. P-E-A-C-E, peace. Not peace like we're trying to get in our world. A peace that passes understanding. That only God can help you to understand. It's His peace. You don't remember anything else. Put on love. Put on the clothes of love. Put on the shirt of love. Put on the coat of love. You want to see change in your life? Do that. You'll see what happens. It's not your doing, but God's doing. I talk a lot about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he came into my mind again this week. I started watching about this guy, but he was a person who was a martyr. A martyr is a person who died for a cause. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was from Germany, and he lived during the Second World War when Hitler was destroying all the world, basically, and he was killing so many people. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian, and he always wanted to go to America, and he went to America right before the war started, and he was in New York. He was studying at Union Theological up by Columbia. And he used to go up into Harlem because he loved to listen to gospel music, and he would go to churches where people would sing spirituals, and he just loved it, and he felt like this was really where he wanted to be. And then he started thinking about his homeland, and he saw what was going on there, and the destruction and the threat. And he had to talk to himself and think, what am I doing? Am I living for myself, or am I living for the gospel of Christ? Am I living for myself and my own desires and my own joys, or am I living for Christ? And he got on the very last ship that was allowed to go back to Europe before the real full war started. And he said, I have to go back to my people, and I have to warn them about what is happening to our country, that they are idolizing the government, Hitler, and all of his leaders. And he went back there with the intent of bringing justice in the form of Jesus Christ to Germany and reminding them of where they came from. And as time went on, he became part of a plan that was trying to kill Hitler for the sake of the whole world, and it failed. But they found out that he was part of this group of people that were planning this, and they took him and they put him in prison. And then one day, they took Dietrich Bonhoeffer and they stripped him of all his clothes to humiliate him, naked, completely naked, and they marched him out into a back garden area behind this house where he was living. And they took him and they put him up on a platform and they hung him. And he died. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said at that moment, it was said that the last words that he spoke was, "My life is not over, my life has begun." At this point, my life now begins. And I believe that God is trying to say to us through his example of the fact that people are trying to make him naked and humiliate him. They try all kinds of things to expose people and to make people feel miserable who believe in Jesus Christ. But what the Bible teaches us is through this humility and this strength that is found in Jesus Christ, that is more powerful of an image than anyone can ever achieve by trying to humiliate him by taking his clothes off. Because he had the clothes of love and of humility and kindness and Jesus Christ on him. They weren't seen, but it goes deeper than the flesh. It goes deeper than the flesh. And he stood up there and he said, "I'm going home now." Just like this kid was coming home in the story we read in the responsive reading. What was dead is alive. What was lost is found. So Jesus is asking you, are you lost today? Then come home. Receive me into your heart as your Savior. I want to come in. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. Open the door. Let me come in. Let me fill you with my love. Let me fill you with my peace. Let me fill you with my joy. Because this is where you belong. And this is where your identity is. If you want to know who you are, then you need me in your life, and I will show you the way. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, Lord, forgive us, for we are so sinful and we are so unworthy to be here, yet you make us worth something because you love us. And we don't understand it all, Lord, but we love you back. Help us to put on the new man and a new woman, Lord. Help us to be able to put these clothes on and to keep them on and to tie them tight around our waist, Lord. Help us to be able to do that and help us not to sin anymore. Help us to be gone with filthy language. Help us to be rid of it. Help us to be rid of sexual perversity. Help us to be rid of all of these things that are seeping into our lives and are so attractive. Help us to see them, Lord, as a threat to the relationship and the love that you want to give to us. Help us to put them away, Lord, and to grasp on to the love and the grace and the peace that you want to give to us, and to make that the most important thing in our lives, Lord. Help us to take a good look at ourselves today, Lord, and be honest with ourselves and begin to read our Bibles so that we can grow in the knowledge of you and the important things that you want to say to us so that we can help other people in this world while we're here, so that our lives will be an example of what a Christ-like person really is, and help us to do these things with fervor and with rejoicing in our hearts, Lord, because you are worthy of all of our praise. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.